Welcome to the Lighthouse Church podcast. Thanks so much for joining us for this week's message. We want to say a special thank you to each and every person that gives and partners with us. To learn more about what Lighthouse Church is doing in San Bruno and across the San Francisco Bay Area, visit our website, www.lighthousesanbruno.com. Like and subscribe so you don't miss any new content. Now, check out this week's message. Today, we're going back to the beginning. We're going to Genesis 1 through 3. And there is a lot to unpack in those first three chapters of the Bible. But I was just asking the Lord, like, what would you want me to say today? Because it's really his message, not mine. And I feel like he wants to remind us today that he's the creator of everything, heaven and earth. It tells us, you know, that he created everything and it was good. And we're going to go to chapter 1, verse 26 and 27. But there's two questions that I have for you today. The first one is, who are you? I might know your name. You might know each other, but who do you know? Do you know who you truly are? Do you know who you were created to be from the very beginning and before the world tried to define you? The second question that I have today is, where are you? Yes, I know we're in church, but that's not what I mean. I mean, where are you right now in this moment, in this season of life, in your walk with the Lord? Genesis 1, 26 to 27. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. We are created in his image and his likeness. That's our origin story. It's easy to forget, or maybe nobody's told you that before. The world tries to define us, maybe by our jobs, our mistakes, our past. But God's word says we are his children. So if you ever find yourself wondering who you are, I want you to know that you're a child of God, created in his image and likeness. Can everyone say, I am made in the image of God? Amen. Verse 28. And God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on earth." And God said, "Behold, I have given you every plant-yielding seed that is on the face of all the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit, you shall have them for food." Verse 31 says, "And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good." From the beginning, we're called very good. We were already worthy. We were made in his image and likeness. And there's no greater thing than to be able to be made by our Creator. Like when your children are born, if you have children, or if you have, I mean, obviously we have parents, but we're made and we look like them. We have like their likeness. We display maybe their mannerisms. We talk like them. We move and we act like them. But we're made in God's image and likeness first. And so we can reflect him in this world. We can look in the mirror and say, "Wow, you created me. You chose me. You needed me here on this earth at this very specific time." And so I just think that is so powerful to remind us that we're worthy and that we're called and that we're chosen. God blessed Adam and Eve. He gave them authority and made provision. He called it very good. And it's reiterated again in Genesis 2, 7 through 9. Then the Lord God formed the man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the man became a living creature. And the Lord God planted a garden in Eden in the east, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground the Lord God made to spring up every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life was in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Before Adam even took a breath of air, provision was already in place. God had already given him everything he needed. He doesn't call us to something without creating the environment for us to flourish. It's clear here. They didn't have to strive for it. It was already spoken of over them, fruitful, multiplied, walking in dominion. Sometimes we walk the earth, we walk through life, and we're defeated. But Jesus said, in the spaces that I placed you, you have provision already. You've already got whatever you need, and I've given it to you. All you have to do is walk with me. In verse 15, it says, this is chapter 2, verse 15, the Lord God took man and put him in the garden of Eden to work it and keep it. Then the Lord God commanded the man, saying, you may surely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in that day that you eat, you shall surely die. In verse 15, he puts him in Eden to work and tend to the garden. And in 16, he gives him clear instructions and boundaries. Have you ever given instructions and boundaries or have been given, but maybe you don't want to do it, or you're like wondering why you never got the explanation, but you're just kind of doing it anyway? This is what he did. He gave us boundaries and instruction. Jumping to verse 19, now out of the ground, the Lord God had formed every beast of the field and every bird of the heavens and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called every living creature, it was its name. God invited Adam into partnership. He could have named all the animals just like he named the sky and the heavens, but he asked Adam to do it. He brought every animal to Adam, and he asked him to name all the creatures, and that was their name. He invited him to co-create with him. He invited him into the creative process and to give him the authority in that space so that he could name the thing and that he could have ownership of that. Sometimes maybe you've been waiting for God to move, but maybe he's waiting for you to speak life and name the thing over the place that he's already given you. We're jumping over to Genesis 3, and it says, now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, did God actually say, you shall not eat of any tree in the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but God said, you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. The serpent said to the woman, you shall not surely die, for God knows that even when you eat of it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew they were naked. Then they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. Did God actually say? The serpent didn't introduce sin by force. He introduced doubt to disrupt obedience. He disrupted her mindset with one question. And sometimes that's a question that we still struggle with today, and it comes from there. Did God actually say? And it shows here that Eve didn't really know God's word, because He didn't say anything about touching it, but he did say, don't eat of it. But she says, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And when we don't know the word of God, it's hard to fight the enemy. It's hard when we don't know how to pick up our sword. This is the sword. This is the word of God. And with those questions, it can just disrupt and dismantle everything that God spoke over us from the beginning, made in his image, made in his likeness, provided for us. All you have to do is come with me. I've already given it all to you, but just don't do this one thing, this one instruction that he had. And they couldn't just obey. And it's not that, you know, I question their behavior, because it's so easy for us every day. Today could be a great day. Today I could be serving the Lord, you know, and speaking and walking in my authority. And then tomorrow somebody says something to me and I'm like questioning, wait, what? You didn't like my hair today? Like, what? But, and you just go down this rabbit hole of just this one thought, one comment, one thing, and that dismantles everything that God has ever said over you. And I think that we have to remember that before he asks us to move in obedience, that he's already made provision for us. So he's already paved the way. All we have to do is step in and say yes. We question if we have enough. That's what Eve did. Is God withholding something from me? Is he holding out on me? Because he said that I'll be like him and I'll know what, you know, good and evil. I heard someone say that she was able to see good and evil, but not in the way that God saw it. God is holy. And he has no evil in him, so he can't experience that. But she is the patient that saw the good and evil. Now she is, you know, succumbed to that. She can't see it the way God sees it, because God is God. God is holy. God can't be evil, because that's not in him. That is not his character. That is not who he is. And he's the physician, but she became the patient. It infiltrated who she was and who God told her that she was, made in my image, made in my likeness, provided for, given abundance of every seed, every fruit tree. You didn't lack anything, but this one question made you doubt everything that God has ever spoken over you. Did God actually say? One question, one lie. The perfect environment God created for flourishing was disrupted. A mindset of lack replaced abundance. Fear replaced dominion, and hiding replaced intimacy. In that moment, there was a separation from their father who created them. I don't know, I might have two boys in college, and so it's like they're out of my reach, and like I can call them, but that's about it. I can't just fly over to them every moment in time, but there's like a distance separation. And now in this moment, there's a distance that came between them, their relationship with God. The serpent introduced a poverty spirit. And that's not about money, but it's about a mindset. The mind frame, a lie, that says that maybe God's withholding from me. In John 8:44, Jesus says, the enemy does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. He was still a liar from the beginning. He dismantled the truth. He gave a half-truth of what God, who God is. Because he wanted to be God. He wanted to be like God. So why not take down the ones that he created so close to him. You know, why wouldn't he just go directly to God and try to fight? Because he knew that with one question, he could change the mind of the daughter of God. And I just want you to think about that and how that affects you in each day, how you, if you don't know his voice and you can't decipher his voice from his truth from the enemies, you know, how can you move forward when he provided abundance, when he provided something for you that you never had to strive for? How can you move forward and know that this is a lie of the enemy, this is the truth of God, and I can stand firm in that? It's easy to be swayed. Every time we choose obedience, we silence the lie and realign with God's truth. Throughout the past couple of weeks, I mean, Pastor reached out if I could, you know, share the message today, and I said yes, but that didn't come without a pressing. That didn't come without a warfare. That didn't come without, you know, a struggle. There were many times where I had to dismantle the lie that I couldn't do it. Even though I know that he chose me, because not everyone is able to come up and do this. It's not in my personality. It was never in my personality. But I had to dismantle the lie. I had to fight. I had to walk in his authority that he's given me. I had to take authority over my home when there was chaos. I had to move in the way that he created me to move, because if not, the enemy knows that I would retreat. It's just me to go backwards, to shrink back, and to not to recognize the pattern, but to say, no, I can't do this. It's important to recognize the patterns that keep you in bondage. The patterns that keep you held back from not walking into God's full authority that he's given to you. Every time we choose obedience, we silence that lie. We realign with the truth of God. One question, one thought changed the truth of her identity, her vision, her desire, and her influence. Her influence over her husband was dismantled because she ate of the fruit. We may not think that we have a great influence over others, but this shows that it does. I don't know what Adam was doing. He said he was, it says he was with her, so I'm not sure what he was doing. He was just watching. But he's supposed to be the leader, right? So, but maybe he asked Eve for that reason, because Adam's the leader. He knew that maybe, the enemy knew that maybe she would have the influence over her husband, that if he infiltrated her mind, that she could affect others. And that's powerful, because the seeds that are planted in you, for good, for bad, they influence others. The way that you display yourself, how you show up every day, it influences others, whether you see it or not, in your household, in your workplace, in your community, in your church. How do you dismantle those lies and walk in God's truth? Imagine someone that's walking towards you, someone maybe that you know, someone familiar, someone safe, someone who loves you. That's what God's presence feels like. When my son was two, we would be at the store. All kids like to play hide and seek at the store for some reason. He would like hide in the clothes racks. And I'd hear him giggling, and I'd, of course, be, like, nervous because I'm, like, a paranoid parent. I'm just, like, I have to know where you are at all times. And so I can't, like, just let you go. But he likes to hide, and he's running around the store, hiding in the clothes racks. And I said, I would say, "Where are you?" I could hear his feet, but I just didn't know where he was at because he's obviously hiding. But I'm like, "Where are you?" I would ask him out loud, and I could hear his feet moving. But I knew that if I started to run towards his direction, that he would take off running too. And so, but he knew what my presence felt like. He knew what my nearness felt like. It was familiar to him. And that's how God pursues us. He's near, he pursues us, he's close, we can feel his presence. And that's what I imagine in the garden. God walking towards his children, not to punish them, but to pursue them. Because after they ate of the fruit, he already knew what happened. But he's asking, "Where are you?" Same question I asked you today, where are you? He's not looking for information. He knows, but he's giving an invitation to come out of hiding, to admit, right? To tell him what they did, to be honest. He's not walking to try to punish you. He's not walking or running after you to condemn you. Would they come out of hiding? Would they let him cover their shame? It's natural to hide when you think, you know, like, "Oh my gosh, someone's after me," or this thing, like, "I'm hiding from, you know, whoever's calling me on my phone. I don't want to answer the phone." But it's different with God. He doesn't do that to punish us. He wanted closeness with us from the very beginning. In that moment of disobedience, God moved toward redemption. In Genesis 3:15, it says, "I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." Right there, in the middle of their failure, God was already making a way for restoration, because through Eve, Jesus came. He was already putting it in plan, right? He called them to obedience, but he had already made the way when they didn't. Verse 21, "And the Lord God made for Adam and for his wife garments of skin and clothed them." In the midst of their failure, God's heart toward his children didn't change. Adam and Eve were ashamed and hiding, but God provided a covering, a physical life-giving way to restore their dignity, their shame. The only way he could do this was to sacrifice an animal. An innocent animal had to give its life to cover their sin. He made for them garments. He was so mindful of them that even in that moment of disobedience, he still wanted to cover them. This moment points forward to Jesus. Just as the animal sacrifice temporarily covered Adam and Eve, Jesus' perfect sacrifice covers us up completely and forever. Through his death and resurrection, our shame and guilt are removed. Our brokenness is healed, and we are restored to walk in God's original design: intimacy, purpose, authority. Before Adam and Eve could step back into relationship with God, he provided the covering first. He always moves toward restoration, not condemnation. Luke 10:19 reminds us, "I have given you the authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and over all of the power of the enemy. Nothing shall harm you." You're not powerless. The word says, we are sons and daughters, made in his image and likeness, given authority and dominion, a city on a hill, a royal priesthood. we're co-heirs with Christ. We're seated at his right hand. We're invited to walk in authority, fruitfulness, and divine partnership with him. We're created for partnership with God. When he told Adam to name the animals, something that he could have done, but he invited him to create with him, to do life with him, to move on this earth with him. You're called to co-create, chosen for authority in every space that he's given to you. Your home, your work, your job, how you show up at the grocery store, how you help a neighbor. He's given you authority in those spaces, and sometimes we make it common. We think it's just ordinary how he's called us. But there's gifts inside of you. There's things that are placed inside of you that he's called each one of us to do. May not look the same, but it doesn't have to. Maybe you're the blueprint. Maybe just like Noah, who was building an ark for hundreds of years, who didn't know what he was building for, never saw rain. It doesn't look familiar, but God called you to it. And when God calls you to it, he already made way for you. He already provided for you. One of my coaches was asking me one time, I just felt really guilty about like leaving a job, and like my family was kind of in a like financial burden, but I knew I was called to do something different. And he asked me, if you felt like God called you, why do you feel shame? And that just, it kind of broke me, because I'm like, you're right. Because God doesn't make me feel shame if he called me. If he called me, he provided for me. And he has. But it was my own mind that was saying that we weren't provided for the way that I wanted it to be. And we can just make it so common what God has done in our lives because of what we think it should be. You're chosen for authority in the spaces he placed you. Today, just like in the beginning, he's asking, where are you? Not because he doesn't know, but because he wants you to come out of hiding, to walk with him in the cool of the day. He still pursues, he still invites you. Will you say yes to him? Today, let his grace cover your shame, his presence restore your joy, and his calling to lead you into a life of purpose, intimacy, and divine partnership with him. I encourage you today to dismantle the lie that the enemy tried to plant from the very beginning, to know your authority and to walk in God's purpose with him. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you for listening to Lighthouse Church's podcast. We hope today's episode has enriched your faith journey. If you have any questions or want to learn more about our church, visit www.lighthousesanbruno.com. Make sure to subscribe to our podcast so you don't miss an episode. See you next time.